Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast designed to awaken you to a new reality. For today's episode, you know what day it is. It's Tuesday, and that means it's time for Tuesday Taoism. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast. The purpose of the podcast is to explore the mind and the depths of consciousness that create it. Ultimately, the podcast is here to help you gain a sense of mastery over your reality and your life by mastery of the mind. So if that's something that interests you, you have definitely come to the right place. And I'd like to say that if you find the content of this podcast helpful, I hope you will consider sharing it with others. All right, so we have a few series here on the podcast. We have our Tuesday Taoism, we have our Zen stream on Sunday, and then I do try to throw in an extra episode here and there related to a topic having to do maybe with mental health. That is my background. Been a psychotherapist now for about 16 years. We also cover things like mindfulness, meditation, health and wellness, basically anything and everything that helps you reach your goals, achieve your dreams, and just live an overall happier day-to-day life. So today being Tuesday, we are doing Tuesday Taoism. And again, for those of you who are new here, Taoism is based on a book called the Tao Te Ching, written 2,500 years ago, give or take a few hundred years. And it was written in ancient China. There is some debate over the author. Some believe it's more popular theory that it was written by one hermit who lived in China way back when. Other people have said, no, it's actually written by a collection of different philosophers and authors throughout the years. Either way, it's a book just of some amazing wisdom. It's comprised of 81 very short little chapters. So I read one here every week and then discuss it a little bit. And this week we're up to chapter 63. And, you know, I say every Tuesday, to keep in mind that there's a lot of different translations of this book. Obviously, it's written, you know, a couple thousand years ago. And it's been translated by many, 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 many people. And you can pick up two copies that are both in English. And depending on the author's interpretation, you can get very, very different meanings out of each of the little chapters. And you'll see, if you could try it, you know, read two different translations, you'll see how different they can be, which is kind of interesting. I've read a few translations, and I always come back to this one. This has been my favorite one throughout the years. It's written by a gentleman named Stephen Mitchell. So I've been reading this book on and off now for, goodness, let me think, 25 years, maybe 25. Yeah, about 25 years, more or less. And every time I come back to it, it just serves as an amazing reminder of, I think, what matters most, which is finding our center and realizing that we are much more than what we seem and what we kind of experience in our day-to-day kind of grind. So anyway, let me go ahead and read chapter 63, and then we'll discuss it and hopefully get something good for our practice today. And by the way, I do hope you all are doing well out there. I know this is challenging time with many people under quarantine, shelter-in-place orders, and, you know, all these health concerns. So we're going to get through this together. I have put out a few episodes here on the podcast recently related to, you know, this whole health crisis that's going on and things that you can be doing to stay centered and focus on your practice and help and support one another. So make sure you check out those episodes as well. So, okay, this is chapter 63, Tao Te Ching, translated by Stephen Mitchell. Act without doing. Work without effort. Think of the small as large and the few as many. Confront the difficult while it is still easy. Accomplish the great task by a series of small acts. The master never reaches for the great. Thus, she achieves greatness. When she runs into a difficulty, she stops and gives herself to it. She doesn't cling to her own comfort. Thus, problems are no problems for her. And that's it. That's the end of that chapter. Wow. This one definitely is up there. One of my favorites. I try not to, you know, have favorites. They're all very good, okay? And they all have something to teach us. But I really, really, really like this one. And I'm gonna explain as I talk about this why I feel this one is so powerful and it's so good. So once again, what we see here is a little bit of a playing of paradox, right? He talks about the small is the large, the few is the many. Confront the difficult while it's still easy, and he also makes reference to never achieving or never reaching for greatness, therefore achieving greatness. So again, we see this this play of paradox, which comes up a lot in the Tao Te Ching. And as I've said here many times before, you know, my opinion on the reason for that is being that paradox always arises when we reach the kind of like the edge of what our brains can reason. In other words, you know, we have our thinking minds, which we probably, most of us, is the part of our mind that we use the most, probably 90 to 95% of the mind that we use on a daily basis is this thinking mind, the chattery mind, the talking mind, the one that's always narrating the inner monologue, the one that's always focusing on the past and the future, and not very present, usually is coming up with worries and anxieties and problems that need to be solved. The more practical day-to-day mind, right? It uses reason and logic and order and linear type thinking. And while this is not an aspect of the mind that we must be rid of, right? There's nothing wrong with this aspect of our mind. But we can say that we spend much more time than needed using this aspect of our minds. And whenever we come to a point where we see paradox or we see things that kind of don't logically make sense but somehow emotionally do feel right, that is where we hit the point that this type of thinking, reason, or logic, it really can't capture the essence of the heart, right? Of the ultimate reality of the spirit, so to speak, of the present moment, of the now, right? This usually when you run into that kind of experience of feeling more enlightened, aware, awake, when you have strong emotional feeling, generally that chattery thinking mind just shuts up, right? It kind of goes into the background. And so one thing you see a lot in the Tao Te Ching, which I just love, is that he the words, the way they're written, the way they're interpreted, they always challenge this intellectual linear mind. And so you see a lot of paradox come up, and you see it here in this little chapter. Now, one of the things that I think this ties so well into is when in the law of attraction community, the manifesting community, you hear a lot of people talking about action, taking action, not taking action. And you know, when you want to attract something into your life or you want to manifest something into your life, are you just supposed to kind of, you know, sit on your butt and just visualize it and not do anything and poof, it's supposed to magically appear, right? And then you have other people that can say, no, that's ridiculous. You have to go out. You have to work for it. You have to really put in a lot of effort. You have to take action, massive action. And that's going to, you know, that's what's going to help you achieve your goals, you know, not just sitting around visualizing and all this. So you have these two perspectives. And what I really love about the Tao Te Ching is that it takes these two seemingly opposites and it brings them together in a paradoxical way. And it's often, I've mentioned it here on the podcast before on the YouTube channel, is this concept of Wu Wei, which is really, there's no English translation for it. Wu Wei is kind of like the type of action that doesn't feel like action. It's like action, non-action merging into one. So one way to look at this, okay, one way to look at this is when you are, I like using the metaphor of a master musician, okay, master musician, right? Is that when you see, let's say, for example, you see a master guitar player, right? Like one of these like flamenco master guitar players, right? And I'm sure when they're learning, right, it's tons of practice, scales, learning, lots of action. And then you hit a point, or the person hits a point where you hit this level of mastery where you watch the person play and it seems effortless, right? It's still a lot of action. Like if you really look at the actions that they're taking, the speed, the precision, precision. It's a lot of action taking place, but because they have transcended that phase where it all feels like action, it no longer appears like action. So again, we see paradox arise here, right? It's that paradox of action and non-action merging into one. And that, to me, is the essence of this little chapter. And it's one of my favorite concepts that I think comes out of the Tao Te Ching, is this idea of action and non-action, or paradox, two things that appear to be opposites merging into one. And let's remember too that the cause for that in the first place is because of that thinking where we started, that thinking mind, its habit of seeing everything in duality, right? Splitting everything into two. So in ultimate reality, there are no opposites. Everything is one. It's our mind and our habits of thinking that split it into two. It's a way of organizing. It's a way of processing. Again, it's a side effect of that linear type thinking that I described earlier, that mind that we spend most of our time using. So when we want to, for lack of a better way to put it, get out of that mind, right? And you can say come back to the senses. Then what you start to become more aware of is you do start to become more aware of the moments where things that seem to be polar opposites merge into one. And this is a perfect example, which is the action and non-action. So for example, going back to what I mentioned a little bit ago about the, just to put this simply, the visualizers versus the action takers, right? Is that if you have somebody who is real firm believer that, you know, no, all you have to do is visualize, just visualize, and poof, it'll manifest. What you could say instead is that as you align yourself, right, through visualizing, through affirmations, through whatever technique you use, right, you do that over and over and over again. The idea is that eventually you will be inspired to take actions that don't feel like actions. They don't feel like struggling, grinding actions because your mindset has changed. And so you automatically start taking actions that really don't feel like they're a big struggle. Now, that's not to say that there aren't certain days where things are going to feel, you know, nobody, I don't think it's very rare for somebody to hit that perfection where every action they take feels inspired and nothing ever feels difficult, right? If you hit that point, you should start a podcast and you should really share how you got there, because I would love to know. But the idea here is that we strive for that. We strive through practices like, you know, you could do things like visualizing, like affirmations. I don't do those as much. I'm more of on the meditation side of things. I think I'm a little bit more action-oriented person. But I do think there's a place and there's a time for visualizing, for affirmations. I do use affirmations on a daily basis, but I just wouldn't call it the core of my practice. The core of my practice, you know, is more meditation. Now, there's a lot more to get into on this little chapter. Just let me pause here for a quick second, allow a word from a sponsor, and I'll be right back. All right, I'm back. Thank you for your patience. Just want to take a quick moment here and remind you that if you ever want to ask me a question, make a comment, offer a suggestion for a future podcast episode, you can always email me at elucidatetherreal@gmail.com, or you could hop on over to the YouTube channel, same name, Dreams Warp, to search for it. Find any one of my videos, doesn't matter which one. You could post a comment under it, say, hey, I just heard your podcast, had a comment, question, concern, or a suggestion, I always love to engage with you all there in the comment section of the YouTube channel. You can also follow me and find me on Twitter, same name, Dreams Warp. I do post little tidbits there throughout the day, and I retweet some good stuff I find. And I think these serve as good little nudges and reminders throughout the day to focus on your breath, focus on the present moment, focus on your practice. So make sure you follow me on Twitter to get that good stuff. And finally, if you're enjoying this podcast and you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, if you could take a quick moment and leave a nice rating and review, that would really help me out. It's a great way to support the podcast, so I would appreciate that as well. Now, the other thing, and that I just realized I talked for about 13 minutes, the first half of this. I was a little long, so apologize for that. But like I said, I just love this chapter. Now, the other thing that I really want to get into, there's so much that I'd love to get into on this little chapter, but one thing I absolutely have to hit on is this particular line where it says, when she runs into a difficulty, she stops and gives herself to it. That is such a profound statement to me. And I think that where I see this really get expressed, or how do I put it? Not expressed, but the area where this really applies most profoundly is you have a lot of people, like at work, you know, when I'm working with individuals, you know, doing therapy and working on emotional stuff, right? Human beings generally, we tend to fight against emotions that we don't want to feel, right? We don't want to feel fear. We don't want to feel sad. We don't want to feel hurt. We don't want to feel nervous. We don't want to feel anxious. We don't want to feel any negative emotions, right? We just want to feel happy all the time, right? That's what we want. And what I find is that interestingly, and this is not everybody, but a lot of people, they fight so hard against uncomfortable feelings that they actually start to suffer more. It's like the resistance against the uncomfortable feeling causes more suffering than the uncomfortable feeling itself. So this line, the reason that I love it so much is, again, it says, when she runs into a difficulty, you could replace the word difficulty with difficult emotion, right? She stops and gives herself to it. Just allow. What we're talking about there is allowing, right? Allowing. And we have to remember that a common or recurring theme in the Tao Te Ching is this idea of yielding, of allowing, right? And that's something that we also hear a lot about in the Law of Attraction circles. And truth be told, I think that when you really hit that point where you are fully aligned with the Tao, right, which we've talked a lot about that in previous chapters, you find that the most natural thing, right, or the most natural movement, thinking-wise, emotion-wise, action-wise, is it's usually in alignment with allowing, right? It's not about forcing, controlling, making, you know, pushing. Because usually, or not usually, but a lot of times that leads to resistance, right? That leads to more and more resistance. And he has said here, the author has said throughout many, many chapters, is that the movement of the Tao is to support, is to allow, is to yield, is to return, right? It's to always, it's basically a vessel of emptiness. And all it does is allow things to come out, which tells us, in a sense, which I believe is true, is that the universe its natural movement is abundance, right? Everything is just always coming out. Everything that you could possibly imagine can come out. It can come out. It can grow. It can evolve. And so when we hit that point or where you see or if you've ever run into people who are like enlightened masters, there's a strong feeling of just allowing, just comfort, just relaxed, just openness, right? And so we see here in this line where it's written, when she runs into a difficulty, she stops and gives herself to it. And it follows that line by saying, she doesn't cling to her own comfort. Thus, problems are no problem for her, right? Problems always arise out of resistance. And this is something you hear Eckhart Tolle talk a lot about in his Power of Now book. The problems always arise as the mind resists what presents itself in the present moment, right? It's not what presents itself. It's more our own resistance to it, our own hatred of it. Now, I do believe This is just my personal opinion, just probably because I've worked with so many people who have suffered true, you know, traumatic experiences in their lives. I don't know, you know, abuse, war, you know, just really, really horrible things that I think in those types of moments, unless you are like, you know, like truly one of the most enlightened people that has ever lived, it is quite difficult to just allow and, you know, not have your mind, you know, see that as, you know, avoid seeing that as a problem. Okay. I'm just put that out there. It's just been my experience. But I do think generally most people, most of our problems, do tend to come from resistance to what is, to what, how the moment presents itself. And so here in these lines, I think he's addressing that directly, right? Doesn't cling to her own comfort. Thus, problems are no problem for her. And finally, the last thing that I want to hit on here on this chapter is it makes reference to these little statements, like I'm trying to find the exact line. Confront the difficult while it's still easy. Accomplish the great task by a series of small acts. Now, this is kind of funny. I have a little personal story here, and you may think this is kind of a little, what's the right word? A little funny quirk of mine, even as a kid or a teenager growing up. I remember when I was in school and I would get assigned like these massive papers that I had to write. Maybe you've had this experience, right? You have a 20-page paper due, you know, and in like, you know, 3 months you have to have this done, right? So what I would do, and I don't know where this came from, to be quite honest, I could not stand the pressure of thinking of a 20-page paper that I had to write. It's funny because 20 pages nowadays seems like nothing, but back then, a 20-page paper was like, you know, giving birth or something in my mind. But what I used to do is I would take the 20 pages and I would divide it by the number of weeks that I had until it was due, right? So let's say whatever, you know, 2 months, 3 months, I had like 7 weeks, 8 weeks. So I would take the 20, I would divide it by 7 or 8 or whatever, and I would write that many number of pages per week, right? Series of small acts. That's what he's talking about here. And of course, this is like the antithesis of the procrastinators, right? And I find that just, you know, that's a real like just practical stuff that's coming out of this particular chapter. Because usually in these chapters, we're dealing with things that are not all that practical. We're talking about, you know, kind of nebulous and, you know, things that are difficult to quantify and really get our grip on. Nothing very concrete. But here we see something that is pretty concrete, pretty practical. It's like, accomplish the big tasks while they are still small. Don't make them big tasks in your mind. See them as small tasks. What can I do today that is a small task that will lead up to the big one in the end? And I love that in this little chapter as well. And how he says also, the master never reaches for the great, thus she achieves greatness. So again, another wonderful little chapter. I really, really enjoyed this one. I hope you did as well. I hope you got something useful out of it for today. I really want to thank you for listening. Again, if you ever want to reach out to me, use those means I mentioned earlier. Stay tuned. I'll be back later this week with another episode. And have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.